Oh, to God be the glory. Nothing like getting a drink from the throne room of God. Yes. As a man soweth, so he reap. Amen? As a man sows, so he reaps. That's what the Word says. As you sow, if you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap life. See, some of us are still reaping what we sowed. Hello? Because we've been sowing to the flesh. But God turns it around. See, even though you're reaping stuff, He turns it around to train you up. Amen? Because He's a faithful daddy. But he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. Amen. So what He's trying to do is get us to start sowing more in the Spirit. See, when you begin to worship the Lord, man, you're sowing in the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. My heart hurts for those who don't worship God. Because they're missing out. Amen. The Bible says in God's presence there's healing, there's deliverance. That means demons finally come off of you. There's refreshing. All of a sudden clarity comes. The person you've been angry with, now you want to forgive. Hello? All kinds of things happen in God's presence. You begin to forgive yourself. Hello? Most of us have been bound to, been beating ourselves up so badly. Believe me, the devil just shows up, gives you a hammer or a baseball bat and tells you a couple things and you start beating yourself up. And he sits there and laughs at us. But he doesn't get away with it. Because my daddy's the avenger. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Philippians chapter 3? Father, we ask that you will anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our eyes to see, that we may gain understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, and acceptance of your great love and your great price. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Praise you, Lord. Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Ooh, I didn't know where Daddy was going to go there for a minute. I was ready to remove this little pulpit. Sometimes they think he just tests us to see what we were going to do. See, when he shows up, man, we gotta get out of the way. Amen? When he shows up, we gotta get out of the way. In Philippians, let's see if I can get there. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, praise you, Lord. I know I have a Philippians in my Bible. Keeps Philippian around. Here, Philippi. There you go. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Well, about time. Let's start at 12 then. Philippians 3:12. Would you read it with me? Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. Hello, everybody can repeat that one again. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. Let's put on the cloak of humility tonight. But I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I am what? Pressing. Are you pressing on? Amen. We got to press on. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Let me tell you something. I want you to really kind of like highlight this arena because this is what brings strongholds in people's lives. This is a stronghold right here. But one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How many times does the enemy bring your past up? Okay, every single day. I understand that. He does it to me too. So if you touch and agree with your past, you become the old man. Hello? You start acting and operating in the old man status. That's because he's brought your past up into the present. Then you are no longer a new creation in Christ, are you? Because old things are not passing away. But old things have come up to the front and become manifested. And the reason for that is because of the word stronghold means memory lie. So if you accept that memory lie, you become old again. Does everybody understand that? The old man comes forward, and you know, one of the things he starts doing, you know, you can have circumstances in your life and so forth that can all of a sudden trigger that old man. But if you're walking in the Spirit, when the old man tries to perk up, you give him a Holy Ghost karate. Yeah! Amen? And you take dominion over and you go, see, because in the Spirit you have discernment. You can't have discernment without being in the Spirit, because you can't discern the things. You won't know your enemy's tactics. All of a sudden it begins to blind you. Because the old man jumps right on your head, blinds you, runs off. Do you ever get around somebody who can't swim? And you're in the water? And they go in the water? And they realize the water is like a little bit deeper? Man, they jump on your head. And they wrap their legs and their arms around you. You can't see, you can't breathe. They're trying to get to the side yourself. That's what the old man does. He wraps right around. You can't see nothing. He tells you what to do. Go this way. Go that way. Act like me. Hello? Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What does he say? I press toward the goal for the what? Prize. That's me. That word prize means reward. I press for the reward of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature, hello, have this mind. Hello, this is a level of maturity. Are you still operating more in the old than in the new? That'll let you know where you are. I don't care how many years you've been a believer, there's still a lot of immature believers. Therefore, let us as many as our mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the what? Same mind. The same mind of Christ. The same mind of Christ. See, this is where, you know, many people wear those bracelets and it says, what would Jesus do? Hello. They need to put on there, what would Jesus think? Hello, what would Jesus think? What would he think about this? What would he think about your response to this? And why are you responding? Hello, are you acting or reacting? Oh, hallelujah. Let me share this with you. That word prize means reward. And there are levels of rewards. I don't want to talk about some of these things today. Go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, praise God. Is everybody there? Should be, it's right after Philippians. Hallelujah. If you don't put your Colossians on, you start Philippian, right? Hey, we're not religious. Thank God. Colossians chapter 2. And verse, we might try 13. Okay, we will. Would you read it with me? And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. How many times does the devil tell you, you ain't forgiven? See, that's going back to your past, isn't it? You're not forgiven. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath or things which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in a world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Now, he's not talking about authorities and ordinances. He's talking about regulations of tradition, worldly traditions. Is everybody with me? You and I are not under substance of the worldly traditions. And let me share this with you. He's talking about lust and things to that degree and fornication and so forth. Because even though that the world says it's okay. You know, if you think about it, I remember when I was a young child many moon ago. And, you know, if somebody was caught in adultery, man, it could, I mean, it was like against the law. Is everybody with me? I mean, it was like against the law. People were like, I mean, you know, now, it's like number one, they promote it. You all look on TV and stuff to that degree. When I was younger, these organizations that would come against the government like they do now, they could be considered communists. You know, anyone who tried to take prayer out of school would have probably been in jail. You know, I mean, but things have changed tremendously. But you and I are not under the ordinance and regulations according to the worldly ways. Does everybody understand it? Our ordinances and regulations are above the worldly ways. Just because it has a cigarette machine and it says okay to smoke doesn't mean we are to. Does everybody understand it? Just because there's booze there doesn't mean, I mean they promote it, doesn't mean that we're to drink. Just because there's pornography and fornication doesn't mean that we're supposed to. Amen? I mean, they're even legalizing marijuana now for some whatever. In fact, there was a guy that called me up and he said he was saying he wanted to come to the program because he was messed up. Then he told me he had was smoking marijuana to try something in his eyes. Glaucoma, that's it. And I said, well, do you have a prescription? He said, no. I'm like, oh, but I need it so I can see you. Right. I should have told him over the phone, how many fingers do I have up? Oh, hallelujah. Foolishness. So the enemy is going to try to cheat you from your reward by walking in the flesh and not in faith. He's going to always try to cheat you from your reward by walking in the flesh and not in faith. Let me share something with you. It is so important about walking in faith. There are levels of rewards. And I'm just going to share some rewards with you tonight. But one of the things is, you know, people have, the Bible says, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord. Amen. But cursed is a man who trusts in his own strength. So by we're to walk by faith and not by sight, right? And there's a reward for walking in faith, and I'll bring you to that scripture. In fact, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, hallelujah. Put more, you know, there are people who put more trust in stock market than they do in God. They give money to the worldly instead of giving money to God. You know, even in what we do, when I'm trying to And everything that we do, we try to keep the money into the kingdom. Amen? So I may have somebody that's going to be a little bit cheaper, or I may have somebody that might be a little bit more expensive. If the person that's more expensive is out of the kingdom, I'm going to put my money there. Has everybody got it? See, this is where people go the worldly way instead of the godly way. No matter what it is. So if I'm going to go get my car washed, if it's a Christian place, I don't care about how much it costs. Does everybody understand that? If the money's going into the kingdom of God, I don't care. If we're going to hire workers or whatever, or subcontractors, we try to find subcontractors that are under the kingdom of God. Now, they may be a little bit more expensive, but I'm putting my money to the kingdom, not to the worldly way. Does everybody got it? Because see, then if I'm looking just for the cheaper way out, then it tells me I'm trusting in me. But if I'm looking to put the money into the kingdom of God, no matter what it is, I'm trusting in God. Does everybody understand that? See, this is where the enemy begins to cheat our rewards. Why? Because you're not walking in faith anymore. You're walking in your own strength and your carnal understanding. When I go to a restaurant, somebody will come and wait on me. And all of a sudden, they'll start talking about the Lord or whatever. Man, praise God, I'm going to tip them, man. I'm going to tip them. No, I'm not saying that the Lord hasn't told me not to tip somebody else. But I'm looking to bless them. You know why? Because I know that that seed is going into the kingdom of God. See, you can't lose by putting your money into the kingdom of God. You just can't. Amen. So this is what the enemy tries to do. He tries to put us in an arena where we actually begin to walk out of the faith and trust of God and trust in what, how much we have. Hello? How much is in my account? Come on. We begin to trust in money more than God. Now, the ruler of this world operates control over individuals by money. Come on, has everybody got it? Now we're walking in the flesh. The enemy wants you and me to operate according to the flesh. Why? So he can cheat us of our reward. Does everybody have that? It's so important. In Hebrews chapter 11, and starting at verse 1. Now, faith is what? Substance and things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to just ignore that little comma there for a minute. And I want you to read it through with me, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Hello? Remove that comma out of your mind for a minute. And I want you to read it all the way to where it says the evidence. Come on, read it. Now, faith is the substance of things for the evidence, hope for the evidence of things not seen. See, faith is tangible. Faith is a representation of present. Hope is a representation of future. That's why the Bible says, calling those things that are not as though they are. Faith is tangible for me and you. Why? Because faith is walking on the other side, not on this side. By walking on the other side, it becomes tangible with the Spirit of God. Is everybody with me? So as you and I continue to walk in faith, God begins to reward us. Because the Bible says it's faith that pleases God in everything we do. Come on, read it with me. For by it the elders obtain a what? Good testimony. By what? Walking in faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are what? Visible. Hallelujah. So that's faith coming what? Tangible. It was made by things not seen. By faith Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, still speaks. Faith continues on, doesn't it? By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wow. So we see that there's a reward of faith. Has everybody got it? So there are certain levels of rewards. The Bible tells us that it's this prize, it's this upward call that you have, that you and I must continue to press forward and let go of the things of old so that we can receive our just reward. Now, we're not obtaining and doing things for a reward, even though God grants us these rewards. We do it because we love him. We do it because we want to see others get rescued and saved. Amen? It's not like doing something for money. We do it for him. That's laboring unto him, isn't it? Praise God. So there is a reward of faith, isn't there? He's the rewarder of somebody who walks in faith. That is the highest level that you and I can go to. Walking in faith. What are the reward? Let me tell you, God will test your faith all the time. On a daily basis. He's been testing mine for the last 6 months, 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. And Matthew 25. Is it warm in here? Whew. Or is it you? Man, it's cooking in here. Glory to God. Smell that sweet aroma unto the Lord. The flesh is cooking. Matthew 25. Rewarder of faith. Glory to God. Is everybody there? 25. Walk by faith and not by sight. And the Lord had servants. And this is one of the faithful servants. In verse 23, he said, now here's a faithful servant of the Lord. His Lord said to him, well done, good and what? Faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Let me tell you something. God will give you authority over many things if you're faithful with a little. But you must complete the little before he can give you more authority. Does everybody understand that? You know, in this authority, it means if you're not under authority, you have no authority. That's why as you submit to God and the things of God, you're able to resist the devil. That's why many people go astray. Because they come to an arena where they stop submitting. They begin to walk in their own authority and stop submitting to authority given over them. They begin to compromise and they begin to come out of the arena, become complacent. They begin to lose sight of their first call and what God has called them to be faithful with a little. And God wants to give them authority over many. So what happens is when you're not, and or anybody is not in this arena and begins to neglect the authority that God has given them, they begin to lose that authority. Amen? What happens, an individual begin to walk in the flesh to try and continue authority, but they have none. Does everybody understand that? So what happens is then people begin to reject that authority. Oh, hallelujah. Faithful steward. There is a reward for being a faithful steward. Does everybody understand that? There is a reward for being a faithful steward. He who is faithful a little will be given more. But you must be faithful a little. And sometimes that little can last a long time to me and you. Man, how long am I going to stay in this position? Lord, haven't I been faithful? A little bit longer. A little bit longer. A little bit longer. A little bit longer. See, he tests us to be faithful. There is a reward for being faithful. If you haven't completed your faithful, he removes your reward. Actually, what happens, the enemy cheats you out of it. Amen? And we don't want to be cheated out of our reward. Go to Matthew 10. Oh, hallelujah. Starting at verse 40. I believe. Oh, yeah. Matthew 10. Would you read it with me? He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So there is a prophet's reward, isn't there? In fact, the Bible says, take heed to the prophets and you'll prosper, and obey the voice of the Lord and you will be established. So a prophet's reward is about prospering. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Now that's a humble servant. That's a humble servant's reward. That's a prophet's reward. And that's a righteousness reward. All in that one. Go to Luke 6. Praise God. Luke chapter 6. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Luke chapter 6. Is everybody there? Glory. And verse, let's see. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 27. This is a good one. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Oh, to God be the glory. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is it to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But what? Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. It says that in verse 35, it says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be what? Great. So we see here's a level of a reward, isn't it? It's called a great reward. And it's called love is a great reward. Amen? Love is a great reward. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to hear a baby at a Bible study. Pray in the Holy Spirit and she'll get it. 1 Corinthians 3. Would you read verse 8 with me? Well, I'll start at verse 5. Okay. So then is Paul... Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the what? Increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. It's a labor reward. It's called a self-reward. Is everybody with me? It's a labor reward. Amen? You know, there's many people who go out and work real hard and they get rewarded, don't they? Because what you sow is what you reap. There's people who work real hard. And there's this labor that as they work, they bring their own rewards in. But it's God who gave the talent, didn't he? Amen. So you always got to give glory to God. No matter what you're doing, you got to give glory to God because he gave you talent and ability even though you're laboring on to yourself. But God still gave you the talent, didn't he? Amen. It's a labor reward or a self reward. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Praise God. That's why we give tithe. Even though we may be laboring unto ourselves, we give God his part, don't we? But we want to labor unto the Lord in all things. Psalm 19. Praise be to God. Would you read verse 7 with me? Starting at verse 7. Is everybody there? Psalm 19 and verse 7. Praise be to God. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Warned. Warned. They are what? Warned. And in keeping them there is what? Great reward. We see here again, great reward. Now this is called the obedience reward. Obedience. Go to Luke 23. Luke 23. Praise you, Lord. So does God desire to reward us? Amen. He says, I came to give life and life more abundantly. He desires to reward us. One of the greatest things that you can be rewarded with is God's presence. It's better than money, fame, riches, everything. Nothing in this world. The greatest thing that you and I can be rewarded with is God's presence. Because without his presence, nothing matters anyways. You know, people go and try and buy happiness. They have a form of godliness. They go home and get in fights with their wives and they do all kinds of goofy things or so forth. Or wives come home and get in fights with their husbands. It's because they're trying to get fulfillment from the world. Amen? But the only fulfillment you can really truly get is from the presence of God. That's why people go to bars. They're looking for fulfillment. Amen? Actually, they're looking for the presence of God. They just don't know it. They try to find God in a bottle. They try to find God in a drug. They're looking for fulfillment. It's love they're looking for. But they have no idea. People in fornications and so forth. Codependency is looking for fulfillment. People are codependent with one another. There are people who can never not be without a relationship. They're codependent. Does everybody understand it? They're looking for fulfillment. The presence of God is what truly fulfills. Amen. That's why people go from one relationship to another or whatever. Or they go from one location to another. They go from bar to bar. You know, they're trying to fulfillment. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Where did I say to go? Luke 23. Glory. Luke 23. Hallelujah. Thank God everything's temporary. And verse 23:39. Then one of the criminals who were hanging on the cross next to Jesus, blaspheming him, saying, "If you are Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" And he said, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the what? Due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." So we see that there is a due reward. It's called a judgment reward. Now understand something. Here's something how it's waived. Here it comes. You ready? Here's the removal of a due reward, which is a judgment reward. And verse 42, he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me." What did he do? He acknowledged him as Lord and Savior, didn't he? He said, "Remember me when we come into your kingdom." Now understand something here. If you go back in this, he rebuked a dude that was coming against the Lord. Has everybody got it? So he chose not to associate with. He chose not to associate. Now the man was a criminal, wasn't he? He was a criminal. They were both criminals. One chose to come against the Lord or the way of the Lord. The other realized, "I can't associate with that." See, because if he was going to associate that, well, it means he's promoting it. Has everybody got it? And a due reward will come, but it'll be a judgment, won't it? But Jesus waived a due reward to him when he turned away from association or fellowship with which was not according to the will of God. He turned away from it and he said, "Lord, remember me." And he said, "Okay, today you're going to be in paradise with me." Has everybody got it? So the due reward or the judgment due was waived because he chose not to fellowship with that which is not right. Oh, I'm telling you, it's so important. It is so important. The Bible says, don't hang around with corrupt company, right? Hallelujah. Go to 2 John. 2 John. It may seem sweet now, but it won't be. Everything seems sweet. People, the Bible talks about they're marrying one another and everything's fancy and everything's cool. Then all of a sudden, bam. 2 John and verse 7. Is everybody there? Praise God. Remember, the path of walking righteous is difficult. It's difficult. But the path of the wicked way is wide and easy. And verse 7, For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a what? Here's a full reward. How many of y'all want to receive a full reward? Amen. Praise God. Then this is what it says. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Hello. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So it's our responsibility and our duty to know the doctrine. Does everybody understand that? It's our responsibility to know the doctrine of Christ. And of course, it's very difficult to understand the doctrine of Christ without the Holy Ghost. Then it becomes a school book. It becomes lettered, and people walk in the carnal arena by letter. And they judge others by letter, but they don't know the things of the Spirit. Hello. So it's very important. It says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Oh, hallelujah. How many times do you get people knocking on your door? You know, they're going, hi. Then they try to threaten you with the things that are happening today and try and bring fear on you so you can come into their fellowship or whatever. You know, there's a lot of witnesses out there, but it ain't the right ones. And I'm telling you, they come knocking at my door, I start praying the Holy Ghost and they run. I come out there, I say, come on, let's pray. You trying to bring Jesus to me? Praise God, let's pray. We'll grab hands, I'll go, Bahari Amosabi, the only one standing there. What's going on? Where'd you go? Come on, you got this book in your hand, it's a doctrine of demons. And trying to bring me into your bondage. Well, let me show you some freedom, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So I start praying in the Holy Ghost and they run. I chase them down the street with some scriptures. Here. Stick it in their hand before they go, you know, in her back pocket, whatever you can do. Hallelujah. You can ask some of the guys, I know. You saw that day, right? People take off. Here, wait a minute. Oh, hallelujah. See, because they don't understand the doctrine, you know that. They don't understand it. Because of that personal relationship, they go by what somebody tells them. And they really have no experience. They really have no revelation. Because they don't have a real relationship. You know? So they all walk around like zombies, knocking on doors, thinking they're doing the right thing for God. But they're bringing people into bondage. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. We want a what? Full reward. Glory to God. A full reward. Go to Matthew 5. Glory to God. Matthew 5. Bless your holy name, my Lord. Is everybody there in verse 11? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. Would you read it with me, please? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were what? That's the persecution reward. Praise God, if you're being persecuted for Christ's sake. You know, when I came to the Lord, and, you know, of course my family knew me as an outsider, you know. You know, every time I came around my people's houses, they'd say, oh, here comes Guy, lock everything up. Or what does he want now? What does he want now? You know. And when I went home to my family and so forth, and they saw the change in me and whatever, it was very difficult for them to comprehend. In fact, everybody was still waiting for me to fall. But I began to share with them some things, and you know, that they just didn't understand the things of God. They didn't know. And even though we were trying to explain to them what was what, they still didn't understand. You know, but it was difficult because, you know, they see a walking miracle, man, and they don't get it. You know, it's difficult for people to really comprehend. No, come on, you're really changed. Are you putting this on? You know, are you faking this? But you can't fake Jesus. You know, you can't fake the anointing. You can't fake that new life. Amen. You just can't fake it. So there was persecution in many areas, especially when I began to, you know, tithe. And I'd be like, well, what are you giving your money to that for? What do you mean to that? It's the kingdom of God. Well, man, don't give all your money to it. You'll end up with nothing. No, no. That's not true. Because if you sow, you know, I mean, God only asks for 10%. Well, when he says, listen, give me a little bit more for something, that means he's trying to bless your socks up. See? Hallelujah. So there was persecution in many areas. You know, and you're going to find that the enemy is going to try to use someone to persecute you, to put you in fear. Has everybody got it? So that you won't walk in faith. See, you want to walk in the supernatural, that's how you receive a full reward. You must walk in the supernatural. You cannot walk in this arena. If you walk in this arena, you'll bring a self-reward. But when you walk in the other arena, you get a full reward from the throne room of God. He rewards you personally with His presence. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Persecution reward. Now don't go out and get persecuted on purpose, you know. You let God do it, don't worry. Yeah, there's plenty of it out there, I'm telling you. Don't worry about it, it comes. 1 Corinthians and chapter. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You don't have to look for it, I'm telling you. You know, but you want to do the right thing before God. Amen, no matter what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 11. Would you read it with me? For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clearer. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. In other words, God is not looking for material buildings. He's not looking for material possessions. That's not what, and it doesn't mean he doesn't mind us having those things, but too many people believe that the more material things they have, the blessed they are. Does everybody understand that? But that has nothing to do with blessing. I'm telling you, blessing is God's presence. That's blessing. God's presence is blessing. You know what? You know, I mean, God may bless an individual with talent or whatever to do something where they're, but it says here, if you're building, if you're building your kingdom with straw money and so forth and gold and silver and whatever, you're not building the thing of God. You're building your self-empire. Then you're claiming that God is blessing you, and it doesn't mean that He's not blessing you in that arena. He's blessed you with a talent, hasn't He? Amen? But He's saying, listen, too many people are judging their walk with God by the material they have. You know how many people, listen, many people are judging their walk with God by the material blessings they have. And it doesn't mean anything before God. Because you and I came with nothing and we'll leave with nothing. Amen? You and I came with nothing and we're going to leave with nothing. It doesn't mean He doesn't want us to have things. But what happens is it becomes the main priority in people's lives, where they lose their first love. Now their whole purpose is to work and build an empire. But yet they keep money because they're afraid of it, and they don't even tithe it. Or when they get an increase, they do something else with it. Does everybody understand that? When God says give first fruits, you kidding? See, money becomes their God. That's the deception of it, isn't it? I'm talking a lot about money lately because I see the effect of it in people's lives. You know, there's sometimes I'd like to just give everything up. I'd like to give it all up. Go back to my little room when I had nothing. It was easier. It was just me and Dad. I'm telling you, there's times when I'm like, man, forget all this stuff. There's so much cutthroat and competition over money, it's ridiculous. Two-faced individuals, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm telling you, this is part of the end-time delusions. We had a couple tapes on end-time delusions. That's powerful. And because people are blessed, they actually think it accommodates or allows them the realization in their mind, which is false image, that that determines their walk with God, and it doesn't. God's presence determines. So we understand it. You know where you are with God's presence. Oh, hallelujah. Where were we? Glory to God. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Did we do it yet? Verse 14. Thank you. Let's do it. Is everybody there? If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a what? Reward. Now read it again. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. So you gotta watch what you build on. Amen. If it's of the world, it's not gonna endure, is it? But it's of God, it's going to. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so as through fire. So we see that these are things that you and I are going to be judged on when we get home. Our judgment is according to our works. Those things will either burn or they won't burn. This is your reward. If they are done according to the will of God, they will last. If they're not done according to the material things are not going to come before God. Does everybody understand that? Material things do not come before God. He's not looking about material things that we've built. He's not looking about houses. He's not looking about whatever you've built. He's not looking about churches. He's not looking about any of those things. He's looking at what lives have you built. Somebody understand that? He's talking about people's lives. He's not talking about things of the world. He's talking about people's lives. What has God used you for? About life. Because the kingdom of God is an eternal thing, not a temporary thing. Amen? So it's about lives, is what he's talking about. Yes, we tithe and we give money and so forth, so we can put into the kingdom of God so lives can be changed. They're not changed by the money, they're changed by what the money does to get things out to an individual. Amen? Only God changed the life. But information and so forth, food, clothing, and shelter, those things help an individual. If we didn't have funds come into our discipleship program, people would have to work right away. Amen? But because the guys that come in and so forth, and they go through the classes in the beginning, and other guys start to work, well, that turns it around to be able to bless those. See, their finances are going towards taking others off the street, feeding and clothing and sheltering them for the 2 months, just like everybody else. Then it goes beyond that. Then it goes to bring food to other nations and Bibles and jails and so forth, and it continues, goes and goes and goes. Just because we're up here on the surface here, the thing is most people don't even really know what's going on behind the closed doors. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But this is where your walk with the Lord will let you know. Praise God. So we don't want to be building our own empire on the things of the world. We want to build it on the things of God. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah! It's called an endurance reward. An endurance reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, that's the endurance reward. Go to Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. Levels of rewards. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 3. Is everybody there? And cool. In verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There are crown rewards, and I'm not going to go into every crown. But these crowns that God awards us, we will bring to the throne of God. And we will lay them at His feet. These are crown rewards. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 12. Is everybody there? It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Hallelujah. You can be walking around with all these rewards in your pocket, man. It could get pretty heavy, you know? They're not plaques. They're not trophies. You're the trophy. You're God's trophy. His workmanship. Glory to God. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the what? Crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Wow. Here's another reward, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. It's the endurance of temptation reward. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, lusts, or so forth, and when enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we have suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippia, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. For neither at any time do we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we are gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately, longing for you, we are all pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. This is called an approval reward. In other words, God tests us to find out if we're going to be men pleasers or God pleasers. We are approved by Him. Everybody got it? We become approved by Him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Approval reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. The approval reward. See, he talks about men pleasers or God pleasers. It's amazing. When I see people backslide, I've seen it so many times, they go back towards the world, they begin to fellowship with money instead of God's presence. Does everybody get it? They begin to fellowship with money instead of God's presence. Does everybody got it? Because the God of this world associates his presence with money. So all of a sudden you see division begin to come and so forth, and you'll find the ones that will flock towards the money or flock towards the presence. In other words, they flock towards the temporary or they flock towards the eternal. But we must take dominion over those things. That's how we get God's approval. Does everybody got to understand that? Why? Because then we become either pleasers of men or pleasers of God. 1 Corinthians 9. Is everybody there? And verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this what? Willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? When I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. There is a willing reward. I call it a submissive or surrendering reward. God rewards you for being submissive. Amen? And surrendered. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I like this next one. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Verse 24, would you read it with me? Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. I call this the die reward. The die reward. Go to Luke 14. While we're in this area, the Gospels, Luke 14, the die reward. Luke 14, verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my what? Disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? Disciple. That is called the disciple reward. Hallelujah. Disciple reward. Go to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Oh, praise God. Genesis 15. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Genesis 15 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Genesis 15 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How about a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Good. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your what? Exceedingly great reward." I told you, that's exceedingly great reward. That is one of the highest rewards. It is the ultimate highest. Faith, second. This is the ultimate. God's presence. Hallelujah. And I want to close with this. Revelation 22. Just for you. Revelation 22. Levels of rewards. Exceedingly great reward. So we got a reward of faith, faithful servant reward, humble servant reward, love reward, which is a great reward, self reward, obedience reward, due reward, which is judgment, a profit and righteousness reward, a full reward, a persecution reward, an endurance reward, a crown reward, an overcome temptation reward, approval reward, a willing reward, a die reward, a disciple reward, an exceedingly great reward. Hallelujah. And in Revelation 22, verse something, praise God. Is everybody there? Good. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work or his obedience. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Hallelujah. "But I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And his spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness even right now in those areas where we are forsaking your rewards. And Lord, we ask that you restore us and put us back in position that we may have a just reward from your throne and from your hand. Please continue to search us through, Master. In any area of entanglement and the fear of this world, we ask that you continue to deliver us, heal us, and fill us with your power. Continue to open your gates that we may know you more and more. Your love, your presence, your resurrection, your power, and your truth. Now, Lord, I pray a blessing over these seeds. I ask that you guide and protect your sons and daughters and allow these seeds to grow, bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.